And one of the things I want to do this morning is I want to issue a warning to you before we get into this message today. And have you guys ever seen those warnings? Like, for example, on dog food, there's a warning. It says, not for human consumption, right? Unless you want to risk it and partake of that, of course. And then there's warnings like road rules, 100K. And that's a challenge for P-platers and Kiwi drivers, right? But it's a warning. And then you've got movie ratings. They have warnings on movies for explicit language and all that sort of stuff. And the world is full of warnings. And then there's other kinds of warnings that are in the Word of God. And some of these warnings that we find in the Word of God don't have anything to do with sin, but they have to do with ourselves being forewarned. Warned about the price. Warned about the cost of actually following Jesus. Jesus warned people, and he forewarned people. And the first scripture we're going to look at is in Matthew 16:24. And this is what he said. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, you guys all know this scripture, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Now that's a warning. That's a warning. Because whenever I've heard about people picking up their cross, whenever I've seen stories and illustrations and movies and all the rest of it, these people that are picking up their cross are usually on their way to be crucified. They're on their way to die. And then Jesus goes on to say that what, in the scripture, what are you prepared to give? Which means, what are you prepared to submit? What are you prepared to yield to? What are you prepared to surrender, to minister, to suffer even for the sake of your soul? See, that's a challenge, isn't it? He's warning us here that these are the things that we must do for the sake of our soul. And it's reading scriptures like this where we kind of want to get one of those buy one, get one free tickets sort of deal for salvation. Because we don't like the cost too much. Right? There's a price to pay. And we don't particularly like walking through some of the areas that we have to walk through in life, especially when it requires faith. But I do love how Jesus just makes things black and white. I love that. It's like he's saying, hey, here's the deal, folks. You want to be my disciple? Well, then you're going to have to deny, which means to separate, refuse yourself. Let me lead. I don't want you running and taking off when things get a little bit tough, for I'm going to show you and I'm going to walk with you and I'm going to lead you, but I'm also going to take you through some places that are going to challenge you. Amen. And then he said things like this. This disciple has got to love me more than his father, more than his mother, more than his brothers and sisters, and even more than his friends, and even more than yourself. He is warning us that he has got to be in first place. And I just want to issue that warning this morning, that what God has called us to as his disciples and his followers of the Lord Jesus Christ requires that we count the cost. There's a cost involved. Do we believe that? Yes. Hallelujah. And so we count the cost and we're prepared to follow Jesus Christ because we have received a promise and a revelation of Jesus Christ, and we should understand the value of what that actually is. Amen. And sometimes value gets diminished, like when my kids get a toy for Christmas and they value it, man, they play all that thing 24/7. They just love it. They sleep with it in their bed, everything. But then the value just seems to wane. The excitement. And they throw it around, they discard it, they don't treat it right, all that sort of thing. And we can be a lot like that. with the Lord. We become familiar. Now, you may not fully understand everything in terms of what God requires of you, and church, that's probably a good thing, because it might just scare you off. And I've often said, if I had known what I'd had to walk through in the last 10 years, I think I would have not just gone the other way, I would have ran the other way. I would have broken some world records for the 100 meters, I'm sure of it. But that's the wisdom of God. He's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Doesn't tell you, he shows you the end of the path, he just shows you where you need to go and where you need to be standing upon. Because the journey can be tough at times. Every single one of us has a testimony of hard times, difficulties, of trusting God and going through some things. And we can all say that. We all get that, and I think we all understand that. However, there is still a sense in which we have to recognize that this walk isn't for the faint of heart. This is a strong man's gospel. It's not for wimps. Amen. The church is the mighty army of God. You know, we are plundering hell. It was setting captives free. We're taking on demons head on, and we're standing firm upon the word of God and the power and the strength of his might, not ours. Amen. And so there is an authority that we have in Christ Jesus to stand and oppose principalities and powers, spirits of wickedness in high places. Amen. But our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. So this is who we are. And to stand in that position and take on these things, it's not for wimps. It's for those who understand what Christ has given us and to walk in the fullness of that. Amen. And this is why we must do what Mark 11 simply says. And it's just so simple. He says, have faith in God. That seems so easy, doesn't it? But we know the outworking of that is going to challenge the very core of our being and who we are. Absolutely. And just like when you look at different jobs that are advertised or an item that's for sale on Gumtree, it says stuff like serious inquirers only, or it says no time wasters or no low ballers, right? Have you seen these ads? Yeah, we've seen that. Serious inquirers. In other words, don't show up for an interview and ask questions, look the part, but inside you're not really into it, or you're not really serious. You know, that's kind of like being in ministry when you preach the gospel and when you talk to people and you might challenge them in an area of their life that perhaps needs challenging. But they just want to tell you about their problems, but they're not really serious about wanting to be changed. Do you know what I'm saying? Because if we really want God to change us, there's something that needs to change in here. You know, ultimately we all want that, and we all sort of desire that, and we all want our circumstances to be different, but there's something we need to appropriate. We need to be serious about it. We need to be a serious inquirer. And there's a story in John about this man who was crippled, and he ended up hanging out in this place that was called the Pool of Bethesda. You guys have probably heard about it. And Jesus sees this man who is unable to put himself, and he's got no one else to put him into the waters when the angel stirred the waters. And so Jesus arrives and he says to him, hey, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be well? I mean, what a question. It could be taken as an insult. See, here is Jesus confronting this man, and this man's been hanging out by this pool for 38 years. And Jesus rocks up and asks him, do you want to be well? I mean, if I was that guy, I'd think that's a strange question. I mean, come on. He's been sitting here for 38 years, and suddenly Jesus challenges him for the very reason that he's been sitting there. You know, some of us can, on a sidetrack, we can sit in the same place for years as well. And then God touches something, challenges us in the area. And this is what's happened here. And when he says, do you want to be made well? He is saying, do you want to be not just healed and well, but whole? You see, there's a difference. Do you want to be whole? That's the word that Jesus used. He didn't just say, do you want to be well? He said, do you want to be whole? Which comes from the whole idea of spirit, soul, and body, right? Do you want to be made whole in every way? Do you want to be complete? And we see the same example of the 10 lepers that came to Jesus. They were all, the word says they were all healed, yet it was only one that came back to thank Jesus, and Jesus called him and him alone whole. Yes, they were all healed, yet only one was declared whole. So there's a difference. Anyway, I won't go down that path. And I think Jesus was addressing this in this man's life at the pool of Bethesda. You know, we personally may need some healing. We may want our circumstances to change, but are you willing to deal with everything in your life that is not whole? I mean, I'm talking about every area of brokenness, and I'm pointing the finger back at me, right, this morning. God's got to do a work in my life. No doubt about it. What about every area of dysfunction? Are you truly willing to deal with that? Because God is interested and he deals with the whole man. Amen? For he wants us to be complete in Christ Jesus, spirit, soul, and body. And so this message this morning is for the serious inquirer only. And this message is for those who are really wanting to do business with God. For I think a lot of times when we have issues in our lives, we want change, we want our circumstances to change, but perhaps we're not fully committed to the process that God wants to do in our life that brings about the change. And in the same measure that God wants to deal with the whole man, the desire to pursue God must also be by the whole man. For example, it's not enough just to desire a change in your circumstances by just thinking about it, the intellect. We also need faith and action. Yes, we need the mind of Christ, but then the Bible says it's also Christ in you. So it's not just the mind, right? And then it goes on to say things like, my life is not my own. Therefore, my life is not my own and it's Christ in me. Therefore, my flesh gets denied. So that I might walk in holiness and purity. Therefore, I have a right standing with God. Amen. Because this whole man, spirit, soul, and body, is to serve the living God. Amen? The whole man is to serve the living God. Not just the theology and the thinking and the scriptures and all that. What about the walking? What about the outworking? Amen? What about behind closed doors? Come on. God's challenging us this morning. Don't worry, God's been challenging me all week. You only get a half an hour. Hey, I might preach this message, but you don't think I haven't been challenged through it all week. I'm telling you, God's on the case for everyone. Amen. Hallelujah. God's process is going to require a cost and a discipline on our behalf. But you know what, church? It is so worth it. I've read the end of the book. Amen. It's worth it. Hallelujah. So our response as a serious inquirer allows God to touch your heart in a way where all the walls are removed. You know how we can just leave God out of a little bit sometimes? He wants to be included in everything. And you just simply come before him completely transparent before your creator. You know, we come to church on a Sunday and we just come and worship him because he's worthy. And we just simply say, well, here I am, Lord. I've got nothing but myself to offer you. Here I am. Do what you need to do. Change me, Lord. Hallelujah. And so this morning, I want your eyes to be open to your value that is found in Christ Jesus. Because the thing is, when you value something, you want to nurture it. You want to love on it. And you want to look after it. And you want to protect it because it's valuable. What about our relationship with Christ? If it's valuable, what would our response be if we truly valued this relationship? Wouldn't we want to love on it and nurture it and grow it and protect it? But it's like we're like, sometimes like, this seems like a terrible thing to say in church, but sometimes we're like suicide bomber Christians, right? We're our own worst enemy. We're destructive towards ourselves. It's the only thing I can think of. Sorry, it's bad, but it's true, right? Do you know that in many nations in the world, in the natural, they seem like the poorest in terms of economy and in terms of how people are suffering and going without, but they're also some of the richest in terms of the natural resources that is available to them. Isn't that interesting? And so there are many places in the world where there is treasure, like the ground is very fertile, for example, and the ground might be so rich, yet the people are in poverty. There's natural treasures and resources like gas, oil, coal, and minerals, and are there to be found. However, most of the people are struggling when it comes to the basic needs in their lives. Why is this? Well, I believe partly due to misplaced values. And these misplaced values impact upon one's character and one's attitude. For example, let's look at some things like greed. That's a big one in the world, right? Selfishness, independence, jealousy. These are terrible character traits. And these traits tend to squash and exclude people rather than holding a value to someone and helping them out. Or what about a wrong or a bad or a lazy attitude or apathy the Bible mentions a lot, right? Laodicean church, that sort of thing. It'll never be intentional about developing and tapping into valuable resources. So misplaced values brings a wrong response, like, it's all about me. Right, we're in a world of self, right? Or, it's too hard, I can't be bothered. Or, I'm not helping him, he's done nothing for me. Right, you guys have heard this stuff, come on. Or, I'll get around to it one of these days, Lord. Or, Lord, one of these days, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, I've mucked up and all this, but one of these days, Lord, I'm going to get really serious. Come on, I've said that stuff years ago. You know, I love him and I want him, but something had to change in my life to begin to get serious about him. And I want to say that to us this morning that the same is true pertaining to the kingdom of God as it relates to us. And there's a scripture I want to look at this morning in 2 Corinthians 9:7. And you've probably heard this scripture preached when people take up an offering or a tithe, because it's generally referred to as a scripture based around that sort of thing. So this is what it says, 2 Corinthians 9:7. Says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. Now, I was just looking at this the other day and I thought it was interesting. So according to the scripture, what is purposed in your heart will determine your intention to give. To give to one another, to give to God, to serving, to tithing, to submission, to faithfulness, to holiness, to whatever it might be, it is determined and it's purposed in your heart. So that tells me that the value that I place on things, the treasure I place upon something, will determine my corresponding action. Does that make sense? The value that is purposed in my heart will also determine my attitude and perhaps even reveal my character to others, whether it's good or bad. So it tells me that I need to know something about value. I need to understand what has value and what doesn't have value. And I need to understand what God's value is of me and what God's value is of others. And somehow, all this needs to get from my head into my heart, because the intention is purposed in the heart. Right? It can't just be information. So let's turn to the scripture that we chucked up on here, which I... Okay. Anyway, it's good enough. Matthew chapter 13, 44. So Jesus told a lot of parables in this chapter. And the fifth parable of this chapter is the one that we're going to focus on this morning. And it's the parable of the hidden treasure. The sixth one is the parable of the pearl of great price. And you guys have probably read these and seen them before. Perhaps not in the way I'm going to share this morning, but nevertheless. So Matthew 13, 44, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. Now, the next one is basically the same sort of thing. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he has found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had, and he brought it. Now, in this chapter of Matthew 13, the first four parables were given to the multitude. I think, from memory, Jesus is in the boat, and he's preaching the parables, and they're on the seashore. But then it goes on to say that Jesus returns into the house with his disciples, and he shares four more parables. So these last four parables were given exclusively to his disciples. And that includes this one we're looking at this morning. Now, the truth of this parable about treasure hidden in this field is this. There is a price to be paid to obtain God's kingdom treasure. It'll cost all. Now, whenever there is something of value or treasure, there is a cost involved, because this parable speaks of the price of the kingdom. And this parable starts out by saying the kingdom of heaven is like, and then it mentions some different things in this parable, which we're going to look at some of those this morning. And the first thing that is mentioned is treasure. Now, if you read the commentaries and all that sort of stuff, there's different views in relation to what this treasure actually is. And we don't have time to go through all the teaching, all the scriptures to prove my point. That's up to you to do it. I'm just going to put out the headline, so to speak. Some say this treasure is Christ. And we know for sure that Christ is the treasure of all treasures. There's no doubt about that. We're not arguing that point. And yes, it does cost everything to follow Christ. However, Christ is not for sale. See, in this parable, a field has been bought to obtain this treasure, to secure this treasure. So it can't represent Christ in this parable, because Jesus Christ is not for sale. He cannot be bought. He is the greatest free gift for all mankind, right? Some say this treasure in this parable is Israel, because it says in the Old Testament they were a peculiar treasure, right? But since the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, this has now changed. The treasure in this parable is the New Testament church. It's the people. You are the treasure. Or more specifically, you are his treasure. Then we find that a field is mentioned. Now, the field in this parable, consistent throughout the scriptures, because God is a pattern God, right, is a picture of the world. Then we see a man finds this treasure. So we know so far that you are the treasure, and you have been found in the world. And so this certain man finds you hidden in this world. The question is now, well, who is this man in the parable? The man, again, consistent with the other parables in scripture, this man is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ came as a man into the world, right? We know these things. Then we see something interesting, that this hidden treasure is found, and then the man hides it again. Isn't that bizarre? What does it say in that one? which when a man hath found, so he's found the treasure, he hideth. He hides. So this treasure's been found, and now it's hidden again. And church, I just want to make some very general comments around things being hidden, as there's a lot we could say on this right now. We could just preach a sermon on things being hidden, because there's so much in the Word of God. So I just want to do some very generalizations here. For example, we were lost. Now we're found. So we always see that Christ seeks and he finds, right? Christ has placed us in himself. We are hidden in Christ. The church right now is somewhat hidden in the world because the church is not rocking and rolling this world at the moment, is it? We're not even really being seen. There's no voice yet like there should be. So we're somewhat hidden in the world. However, soon there'll be the greatest move of God to ever take place. So we see that seasons are hidden in God. And again, at some point during the tribulation period, the remnant church, the man-child offspring, will be hidden again for a times and a half a time, 1260 days, 3.5 years, the Bible tells us. So we see God's into hiding stuff. Amen. So why did this man, Jesus Christ, do all this? Well, it says, for the joy that was set before him. This parable says that this man came and he found this treasure and he hid it, and he hid it to protect it and to preserve it. And it was for his joy to pay all that he had to purchase this field. Are the pieces coming together this morning? Let me summarize. Remembering parables are stories with a heavenly meaning, often spoken in types and pictures. Church, you are God's precious treasure. So valuable, yet lost and hidden in the world. I was lost, but now I'm found, right? You are so valuable that it caused God to come as a man, born of a virgin, to be slaughtered and beaten on a cross for the joy of purchasing this treasure, which is you. The cost was himself. You know, this parable says he paid all. He paid himself. The price was himself. His own body and his own blood was spilt to purchase you. There was no greater cost that he could pay but himself. There is no greater value or thing known to man than Jesus Christ. You see, this parable is telling us about your value, and your value is Christ. That's your value. And this is why we help one another. And this is why we pray for one another. And this is why we support one another. And if needed, even lay down our lives for one another. When Jesus looks upon you, the value is himself, because that was the cost that was paid. And you've been purchased with his own blood. And so when we look at each other, what should we see? Yes, we should see that value in each other, because that was the price that was paid. You've been purchased with his own blood. You are so highly valued, a precious treasure that has been found in this world, that it's moved the very hand of God himself, that he would lay down his own life because of the value that he sees in each one of you. Isn't that something? Your value is so high in God's eyes, he's purposed in his heart to give himself. Before the creation of the earth, before time, before we even existed, you're in the heart of God, and he purposed in his heart, man, this is a precious treasure. What value do you place towards God, church? Do you really value him? This day, friends, we need a purpose in our heart to give it all to God, because that's what he gave to us. He gave everything. He gave everything. You know, sometimes we value our time so precious we don't want to give God any of it. Yet his value was so high he gave himself. Got beaten, torn apart, blood spilt, hung on a cross. Yet we can't even give him a tithe, some time, some time to help someone else, to comfort, to pour out to others, to cook them a meal, or go out of our way because we might value watching TV too much, or we might value having a sleep, or whatever it might be. We've got misplaced values. God has given His all. And today, church, I want to leave us to leave here as serious inquirers, knowing the value that has been paid and therefore prepared to give to God in the same way that He's already given to us. Amen. Is there a cost involved? Absolutely. There is. And sometimes you don't want to do it, but the Bible calls that discipline. You know, a disciple is a disciplined one. Amen. Just as it cost Christ everything that He had. God has made Himself available to you, you know. He is our treasure of all treasures. He's made Himself available. And He's no respecter of man. He's given access to all. But some people will dig in and receive and be used of God powerfully and all that. Others, they'll dig a couple of, and I'm just using an analogy now, a couple of shovels full and they're done. This is too much hard work. But those who will persist going into the deep water of Christ, man, it's worth it. It's worth it. I want to encourage you this morning. It's worth it, church. Get deep with God. Set that time aside to just sit and wait on Him and hear His voice and talk to Him because He's your friend. He's your Savior. He's your King. Amen. He's the lover of your soul. He can be found if you're prepared to put that time aside. Amen. It's about relationship. It's about walking with Him. He wants you to know His voice so clear. He wants to walk and be included in every aspect of your life. Amen. He is an awesome treasure of all treasures, but He looks at you as the most valuable treasure there is. Hallelujah. So much has been given to us, and we've got the opportunity to take a hold of that today. What do you think about that? Is that exciting? And so I just shared that this morning. I hope you got something out of it because I want you to understand that this treasure that is you is of the highest value that could possibly be. And perhaps when we look at one another, perhaps someone who is to come in and they're maybe addicted on drugs or alcohol or stuff gone in their life, perhaps they're violent, whatever it is, don't look at them like that. Look at them how Christ looks at them. He died for them. He values them so much. We just need to get beside them and help them. Because that's the ministry that God has given us of setting the captives free, to be the hands and feet of Christ, to see restoration come in people's lives again, to see them built up in this faith and established in Christ Jesus. Amen. It's astounding, isn't it? I want to keep talking because I'm trying to validate and put it into words, but there's no real words. What I'm trying to say has got to speak to your heart. Because how can you explain this value? I've tried to use a scripture to explain it a little bit, but you can't. Because the value is beyond price. Just like His love is beyond comprehension. But one day we'll know. But it's worth it. Amen.